It's July 2013 in Philadelphia, Tesla Days events, and we're here with inventor Thomas Fetterman. Thomas, you've said things at times about cultivating relationships with the people that you work with as an inventor. How does that work, and how does that contribute to the success of an invention company?
Well, you know, first of all, as far as I'm concerned, all business is based on relationships. And when you are an inventor and you're trying to figure out a way of doing something, the best thing you can do is to pick up a phone and call someone who is an expert in the field that you're curious about. And the most magical words you can have, in my opinion, are, "Can you help me, please?" Because there are so many engineers and experts who are kind of unsung heroes. They go to work every day and they do their thing. But when they have somebody come and sincerely ask them to help them with very specific things that over which they know a lot about, the response is usually very, very giving. And they're flattered that somebody actually even cares. So asking for help is really essential. And there's not enough time for anyone to learn everything about all the things they need to know to make an invention work. So it's good if you learn to find the experts that you need and to engage them in your vision.
There's a kind of a stereotype about inventors and really other types of creative people as well, that they're loners and they sit in little tiny grubby, badly lit rooms and basically don't see anyone. And it sounds to me like that stereotype really doesn't exist, if it ever did, and that's really not the way to go. It seems like the way to go is more social, more giving, outgoing. What about suppliers? How do you treat them?
Well, suppliers, first of all, you can call most any company and they will be happy to send you free samples of their wares because they're trying to promote the use of their products. And they don't know whether you have a home run invention or not, but they're rooting for you. So they send you these pieces of closed cell sponge or adhesive or all kinds of things that you never even knew existed before, but after talking to an expert, you can find that they might apply to your solution. So I like getting out of that room. I like going to trade shows. I like shows that, you know, that feature processes like a plastic show or a ceramic show or so forth, because there you get to see new processes that become part of your language vocabulary of invention. And the more fluent you become in that language, the more likelihood there is that your invention is going to succeed.
So it sounds like keeping everything a big fat secret and trying to make sure that you get all the money that's due you for having served the world with your invention, that doesn't really work either, apparently.
Not very well. And in fact, the people, so many inventors, I call them one-hit wonders. They don't invent something, an invention finds them, or a need finds them. And they think right away that their solution is worth $1 million. I've never had an inventor say my invention is worth $750,000, for instance. It's always $1 million. And my advice is, don't think that you're going to make $1 million on your invention. I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think you should try to make, you know, enough money to pay for the molds and to pay for your time and perhaps some marketing, and the next thing you know, you might have an invention that starts making you, you know, $25,000, but maybe it's $25,000 a year. So what's so bad about that?
That's a good way to look at it. Thank you.